let's talk into this for a bit. You ready to literally break some ground today? You're in the right place today. Anyone that's not here, there's quite a few away, which it's always a little bit of a bummer when you've got this message in your heart and you just know this is for the whole church. But we are recording and our uploads are starting to happen again now. We had a period of time where it didn't happen. We've just uploaded the last couple of weeks from Easter Sunday and Pastor Ben last week. They're on our website now, so you can access them. We've changed website platforms, so that was a little hiccup. Plus, we had a bit of a hiccup with the camera. Technology's wonderful, right? But everything's not hiccuping anymore, so that's good. We're all good. And you can catch up on our messages, and particularly today's. If you see anyone that's not here today and didn't get this message, you need to urge them, because I'm going to take the camera home myself and put it up today. That's how urgent this message is for our church. So now are you ready to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. We are in, no doubt, a season of drought. Yeah?
Yes.
It's very dry. How many of you have had to fill tanks? We had to do that recently. And there's dams at about 72% or something, which everyone's trying to calculate how long that's going to last, Storm King Dam. But we're just going to believe for rain, amen. Because what we're going to do today is going to shift something in the spiritual as well as in the natural. So we're in a season of drought. And in seasons of drought, this is really important. God does not call us to shrink back. That's what the world says. Oh, hold on to everything. And you just don't know when the next lot of provision is going to come. So just let's all get stingy now and pull back in every area of life. God doesn't call us to shrink back, does he? The Bible that I read encourages us to sow forward. To sow forward. Farmers will tell you that. Farmers don't wait to see a massive crop and harvest there before they start planting. That doesn't make sense, does it? They've obviously got to sow when there's nothing. And they trust for the harvest. Well, that's the godly principle that we're going to be talking about today. Because in drought, we don't shrink back. We actually sow forward. Let's be honest. The world is moving from crisis to crisis. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Ever since COVID back in 2020, it's just been one thing after another, hasn't it? We've gone from COVID to the economy failing and to now, today, as of today, cost of living crisis. How many of you are sick of hearing that? But that's the words that they're speaking out. Cost of living crisis, fuel prices going nuts, interest rates going to go up because they think there's inflation, but no, we're just buying fuel at the exorbitant price that it is, and that means the inflation's going to go up because that's how our economy works. Anyway, we won't go there. And for many people, it feels like the ground is dry in more ways than one. And I reckon every single person in the room can relate. You're sensing the dryness. And perhaps not even just in natural, but in the spiritual as well. Dry in the natural. Dry in your finances. Come on. Let's be real. Dry in opportunities. Oh, Lord, the doors just don't seem to be opening. Whatever it is. And when everything feels dry, our natural instinct, and hear me, there is no condemnation today, but we've all felt it. We get that urge to pull back. We get that because it's a natural urge. It's how we've been made. We want to preserve what we have to make sure that we last. But what if the kingdom worked differently? And I think many of us know this, right? We live in a different kingdom, yes?
Yes.
Come on, I need you to, if you're sitting there and not responding, I'm thinking this is going, shh, and you're not with me. We live in a different kingdom, right?
Yes.
We don't have to be susceptible to the things of this world. What if the very season that is screaming at you to hold back, which is what it is right now, it's screaming at you, it's a very loud voice from the world. What if that very season is actually the season that God is inviting you to step forward and take steps of faith? Come on, we don't just need rain, we need revelation today.
Yeah.
And that's what I pray every single person under the sound of my voice. So the people in the room today, the people online, the people that are going to listen to the recording of this, and I pray that everyone gets to this message. Make sure you let our kids leaders know too. Really important that they listen to this message because we need revelation. My message today, it's an interesting title, but it's Seeds in the Sky When the Ground is Dry. That's what I'm going to be speaking into today. Because sowing in drought is so important if we're going to believe for rain. in the natural and the physical. Amen? So, my first point is this. When the world says hold back, God says so. We have an opposite kingdom. Like I said already, the natural instinct is to cling tight. But Genesis, let's read it, 26 verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going to read verse 12. It says, there was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. And then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. See, there was a choice to be made by them. There was a choice that Isaac had to make. See, Egypt was enticing because there was provision, there was resource, there was everything there. But the Lord comes and says, no, no, no. Sow in the land that I've sent you. Sow here. Even though it looked drought, famine, bleak, nothing's going to grow here, Lord. But nevertheless, your word says stay here. So let's do that. And then verse 12 says, then Isaac sowed in that land, and he reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. Come on, who wants 100-fold? Yes. Come on, claim it now. Give God praise. Thank you. We want 100-fold in our land. Right now, it looks dry as anything. In fact, we were here in the drought in, what was it, 2018, 19, around that time. And it was pretty bad, but it feels like we're there now already. That's how quick this drought has come all of a sudden, out of the blue. I don't think anyone's even expected it to come this quick. The land looks dry and parched, but the Lord is saying, stay in the land of which I've sent you, sow into that land, and you're going to reap 100-fold. And we're going to see miraculous provision that has only got to be from the Lord our God. So we're going to believe for that today. I mean, let's be honest for a moment and talk kingdom economics, okay? Because it's different to the world. When things get tight financially and when the pressure is on and when everything around us is saying, oh, be careful, the natural response is to pull back. We've covered that already. Natural wisdom says famine is the worst time to sow in the natural. That's what natural wisdom says. So we tighten our grip. We hold on to what we've got. And you start thinking, well, I just need to get through this season. And once I'm through this season, then I'll... And that's how the mindset goes, right? And that makes sense, because in the natural, that makes total sense. Because the world we live in runs from crisis to crisis and fear during crisis. How many of you are sick of hearing fear? That's all you get from the media, the mainstream media, is just fear. Makes you afraid. Cost of living, petrol prices, everything. Every headline right now is... It's screaming, that's not enough. Things are getting worse. You think this is bad, wait until... you need to protect yourself now. That's what the world is sprouting out to us. And if we're not careful, that voice starts to really shape how we choose to live. Because you're overwhelmed by it, aren't you? That's very, again, very natural. This isn't to condemn anybody today. This is a reality that we live in a world that is based on fear. And it's trying to restrict you and contain you. Because that's what the enemy does. If the enemy can restrict and contain the body of Christ, an ineffective church is an ineffective message of Jesus. And we're restricted and we just keep to ourselves and we don't step out in faith anymore because we're scared. That's what the enemy wants. But then we come to this moment in the scripture that I just read, and it literally confronts that mindset. The Bible says there's a famine in the land. Kind of like the drought we're experiencing right now. And it's not just inconvenience or a dip. This is a famine. Now, famine means no rain, no crops, no guarantee of tomorrow. There's just nothing that you can see. And right in the middle of that, God speaks to Isaac. But he doesn't say what you would expect. You know, he doesn't say, oh, Isaac, I recommend that you play it safe. And just conserve everything and just survive this. Let's get through this. We'll just scrape through and get to the other side. Now, this is what God says. Stay and I will bless you. Stay and I will bless you. He's going to bless you. Now, that's already confronting in a way. Because sometimes we think breakthrough comes by escaping the hard season. Well, let's get out of here and let's go where there's a land with milk and honey flowing and lots of water, and let's get out of the bush. But God says, no, I can bless you in it. Come on, do you trust that?
Yeah.
This is the word of God. I can bless you in the midst of your drought season. And then Isaac does something that makes no natural sense. The Bible says he sowed in that land. Farmers would laugh because it's just dry as a bone. No evidence of life. And here he is sowing. And he's not doing it after the famine. He doesn't wait for the season to shift. He's not doing it when things improve. Not when there's rain. Oh, there's a bit of rain. We can throw a few seeds out now. He sowed in the famine. There's a lot of tension in that. Can you feel the tension in that? Put yourself in Isaac's shoes. The tension that you would feel. Lord, there's just, what I see is there's nothing. You're telling me to stay and sow? Because everything in us literally, maybe it's just me, but this is the worst possible time to sow. Drought's the worst possible time to give if you're in a farming community because there's no promise of tomorrow. We need to hold on to everything. In the natural, that's what we feel. That's our instinct. Remember, natural wisdom says that famine is the worst time to sow naturally, but kingdom principle says that famine is often the best time because that demonstrates faith over fear. And that's what we need to be as the church, as the body of Christ, not dictated to by the fear that's getting fed to us literally daily. Faith over fear, because it activates the need for spiritual supply. See, as long as we're hoarding and keeping and just protecting what we have, do we really need God yet? But if we step out in faith, we need spiritual supply. And that's where God intervenes and he gives us a harvest from nothing. So you see, Isaac responds differently. He doesn't respond to the conditions. He could have. No one would have blamed him. But he actually chooses to respond to the word of God. And that's what I'm asking us as a church in this next season to do. Here's what I want you to catch today. Famine is the worst time to sow. It probably takes snow, actually. It's liquid. Famine is the worst time to sow in the natural, but often the best time to sow in the kingdom. Catch that today. This is your revelation. And why is it so? Because when you sow in famine, it proves where your trust really is. It proves where our faith is, that we have faith over fear. It shows that your confidence is not in the economy, not in our politicians, in our government, not in the weather, not in what you can see, but our trust is in God. And you know what the result is when we trust in God? The Bible says he reaped 100-fold in the same year. And I asked you just before, who wants 100-fold? And I think every hand and foot went up. Come on, we all want it. We all want it. He reaps 100-fold. It's the same dry ground that was there before God spoke. The same conditions, the same famine, but the different outcome. Why? Because Isaac lived by a different system. You and I, we live by a different system. We talked about systems already, but we do. It's a system. Sow, reap. That's a system. It's a godly system. The world tries to take it, or UA, or when they put different spins on it, but it comes from the Bible. What you sow is what you will reap. What you reap is what you will sow, whichever way you say it. What we put in is what comes out. So maybe you've been there, and maybe I'm speaking to people in the room. Maybe there's a few nervous in their seats, and I'm sorry. It's almost like a sorry, not sorry, because I just feel we need to receive this today, regardless of where we're at. Maybe you're looking at your finances, you're looking at your bills, you're looking at everything going up, except your income, and you're thinking, well, now's not the time. I can't. Pastor Jeremy, I understand what you're saying, and yeah, I'm excited by it, but I just can't. Maybe I can later when things settle down. Well, when will things ever settle down? Let me ask you that question. You know, what if later never comes? What if the breakthrough that you're waiting for is on the other side of the step that you're avoiding because you are nervous and worried? What if your breakthrough is on the other side of that? Now think about a farmer for a moment. See, a farmer doesn't wait, and I've said this already, but he doesn't wait to see evidence before sowing. They have to sow when it looks like that. You don't see any, it's just dirt. They've plowed the dirt. He plants when the ground looks empty. He sows when there's no visible sign of harvest. That's a farmer in acting faith. Whether they're spiritual or not, they're trusting that something's going to happen here. The fruits of my labor are going to bring about a harvest. See, seed comes before supply. Did you catch that? Seed comes before supply. We must release what we have before we receive what we need. It's a godly principle, and you cannot buck the system. You can try, but this is where it gets honestly very real for all of us, because giving in a season like this, it's not just financial. Move past that. Just think, it's not often I talk about finances in church, but we are today. But this is beyond finances. This is beyond that. This is actually spiritual. It's actually a declaration. Every time you give, do you know what you're saying? God, I trust you more than I trust what I see. God, you are my source, not my circumstance. You are my source. My circumstances are not my source. You are my source. God, I believe you can bring increase in every dry season. That's what you're saying when you give despite the climate. So you don't wait for the rain to sow, but you sow so that the rain has something to fall on. Come on, did you catch that?
Yeah.
That was really good. I like that line. You don't wait for the rain to sow. You sow so when the rain falls, it has something to fall on. See, some of you have been holding back. And again, please, there is no condemnation. I'm not judging a single person. The truth is, I don't really know. You know, I see what comes in online. I don't know who puts in the bucket thing. And I'm not there analyzing who's doing, who's not doing. Because you know what? I've always said this from this platform. What you give is between you and God, because he brings the conviction, not me. If you're going to give out of this because of conviction, because of me, I want you to go and pray. Because that's the wrong motive. That's the wrong motive. I want you to give because the Holy Spirit has given you that little holy elbow. Who gets those elbows? You need to do that. Or you need to change that. Or you need to... That's how the Holy Spirit works. A little bit of conviction and deals with us. So some of you have been holding back. And it's not because you don't love God. I'm not questioning that one bit. You love God with all your heart. But it's because fear has been whispering, oh, not now. Now's not the right time. But today I believe God is gently challenging that. And he's not challenging it with pressure. Here's how I want you to see this. This is an invitation. You might be people that have never tithed to this church. And that's okay, because there's no judgment. I love you no matter what. But after today, you're going to be invited to start doing that. To start putting God first in your finances. In every bit of our increase. And I'll talk to that in a moment. But this is an invitation for you to trust God at a whole nother level. An invitation to step out in faith again. An invitation to sow even when the ground seems dry. Because this is the truth. Your breakthrough is not determined by the season around you. It's determined by your obedience within it. All right, here's my second point. Your seed goes up before your rain comes down. I'm going to read 1 Kings 18, 41-45. I'll just put that up there. I'm going to read the whole section. 41-45 says this. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Hallelujah. I'm saying to Standor, there's the sound of abundance of rain.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his legs. He said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Seven times. Go and look again. Are you sure? Should have went to Specsavers. Then it came to pass the seventh time. I thought it was funny. Thanks, Steve. Now then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Ah. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind. There was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. See, Elijah says, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. So let's shift the picture just for a moment. Because Isaac shows us how we should sow in famine, right? That's what we just talked about. Elijah shows us how to believe for rain. And this is where it gets absolutely real for all of us. The Bible says there had been no rain for 3.5 years. That's a long time to not have rain. Think about that. Not 3 days, not 3 weeks, 3.5 years of dryness. The ground is cracked, crops are gone, hope is fading. And into that moment, Elijah stands up and says, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Now, that doesn't make sense, does it? I could go out into the community now and I could say that. Like, you guys responded really good. You're like, woo, yeah, because you know, in faith, come on, let's prophesy it. Let's speak it into being, because that's what the Lord says to do. Trust him. And I went go out into the community to a faithless people and they would laugh at me. They'd mock at me. They'd think I'm a Looney Tune. Crazy. Because it doesn't make sense. When you look around, does it look like there's an abundance of rain? Because there's no cloud, there's no wind, there's no sign. Nothing in the natural is backing up what we're saying when we say that. But see, Elijah isn't responding to what he sees. And this is key. He's responding to what he hears from God. He had a word. Just like Carolyn had a word. It's going to come to nothing. And look at what happened. Come on, we've got to get a word. And we've got to hold on to that word. Because God's word, that helps us to lean in on what he's doing, yeah? See, some of you today, you're looking at your situation, and if you're honest, you'd say, I don't see anything changing. Finances are still tight. Opportunities still feel limited. The pressure is still there. Nothing has shifted. But can I ask you this? Like, what is God saying even when you can't see it yet? What is he saying? I hear the sound of abundance of rain. He's whispering it to you. He just wants you to catch it. See, Elijah sends his servant to go and look, right? Go and see if there's any sign of rain. And the servant comes back and says, nothing. And Elijah says, go again. Second time, third time, fourth time. Why is he doing this? Because he had a word. And he's like, I'm not going to be satisfied until this word comes to pass. Keep checking. Keep looking. Keep anticipating. Keep believing. Yes. Don't get discouraged because seven times nothing's shifted and nothing's happened. But on that seventh time, you saw a cloud the size of a man's fist. Seven times it took. See, faith keeps sending even when it keeps seeing nothing. Faith keeps sending. Keep putting it out there. God, you promised. You've said it because you've got a word. If you've got a word, you hold on to that word. And if you haven't seen it, we sing the song, Waymaker. Even if I don't see it, you're working. Even if I don't feel it, you're working. Come on, we've got to hold on to that word. That's why we need a word. That's why I say to you, don't give out of guilt because I'm up here talking about money today, but get a word. Go to the Lord and pray. And what does he say to you? And hang on to that. Live that out. Because faith keeps sending, even when it keeps seeing nothing. Now, I don't want you to miss this. This is so key. This is exactly how giving works in seasons, just like this. You give once, nothing changes. You know, for example, maybe you're a tither already. God bless you. Maybe you decided to up that a little bit. That's your faith seed. Just stepping out in faith. But nothing shifts. You give again and it still looks the same. Second time. But you step out in faith and there's no immediate breakthrough. It can be discouraging. I hear you. And the temptation is to say, well, what's the point? Let's just stop doing that. But Elijah teaches us something really powerful in this moment. Just because you don't see it yet doesn't mean it's not coming. Come on, did you receive that?
Yeah.
Just because you haven't seen it yet doesn't mean it's not coming. See, your seed goes up before your rain comes down. So I want to show you something this morning. I need some help. Steve and Nick, could you help each other just to bring this tape? Maybe we'll bring it up here. Is that all right? Who likes visual demonstrations?
Yes.
I'm not cooking anything today, so. But, Here's one I prepared earlier, yes. Easy. Awesome. Alright, so we can take this off. Oh, look at all this stuff. This looks pretty good. These are, how did these make it? Are they healthy?
We got
all the food groups are represented there. So that's all good. Let's put this one here. And what I want. Hey Mac, do you feel like helping us? Would you help me? Would you help Anita? What we want to do is we want to take one of all of these and put it on here. Do you want to help? You can just smile there, girl. Maybe, yeah, you come together. So just one of all of these. So this is God's provision, right? We've got spuds. Who likes mashed potato?
Mashed potato.
Bit of salt, bit of garlic, yeah, bit of butter. That's good. We've got, what are these? Mandarins. Yeah, so you take those, Mac, for me, and you've got to put them on the table over there. Mandarin. That's all right, you can just help Grandma. Do you want one of these? Yeah. Okay, you can go here. We've got bananas. Who likes islands? Bananas? No, coconuts, sorry.
Oh.
Aussie coconuts. It's not the same, is it?
No.
We've got onions.
Onion. Do it.
No, we're not going to do that. Onion. You can take onion. There you go. And we've got, what is it? Avocados. That's it? Is that everything? Oh, and a banana. Good job, Mac. If Winnie was here, he would take the banana. Is that still a thing?
Oh, yeah.
That's still a thing. Yeah. All right, so we put all that over here, right? Okay. Very good. Very good. So I've got two tables here, clearly. Thanks, mate. You're leaving me hanging today. That's all right. I love you. It's all good. All right. So I want to show you something. Okay, this is really simple. Two tables. On this table, we have abundance. Look at how much is there. If I had a bigger table, I'd get 10 watermelons. Not enough room for watermelons today. But there's fruit. There's vegetables. I really don't know what food group that is, but there's something in there. So this represents your income, your resources, your provision. And watch what we've done. We've taken, there's 10 of everything here, in case you hadn't figured that out already. And we've put one of each over here. So this is 10%. This table has a smaller portion, doesn't it? This is big. This is a bit smaller, right? Simple maths, yeah? This represents what belongs to the Lord. Now, let's be honest for a moment. When things are tight, when we're in drought, when we're challenged, this actually feels like a lot, doesn't it? Let's be real. God's not going to smite you. It's all right. Let's be real. This feels like a lot all of a sudden because things are tight. Things are challenging. When the ground is dry, this feels very costly. And the thought comes real quick to all of us, I can't afford to give that. I need that. But look again. Which table is bigger? I'll give you a hint. Which one represents what we get to live on? Just give you another little hint over there. See, God never asked you for all of this. He's asked you for a portion. See, some people say, "Ah, Pastor Jerry, tithing is the law." Who's heard that before? Nervous laughter. You've all heard it, haven't you? We reason in our minds why we shouldn't tithe, and we come up with reasons, and then we lean on those to justify our decision. But see, before the law of Moses was ever given, tithing already existed. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. So it's not the law, just because it's in the Old Testament. It predates the law of Moses. Genesis 14, I haven't got these scriptures to show you. Genesis 14, 18 to 20 says, "And he gave him a tithe of all." And this is Abraham giving to Melchizedek. Gotta be careful how you say that name. There's no law there. There's no command. It's literally just honor.
Yeah.
That's what that is. And then again in Genesis 28, verses 20 to 22, Jacob's saying, "Of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." And again, this is voluntary, it's relational, and it's faith-based. It's before the law. Tithing didn't start as law, as some people conclude, but it started as a response to God and his goodness. See, the law established it, but it didn't invent it. You see the difference? Under the law, tithing became structured, system. So glad you used that word for that. It's good. But it did. It became structured. Leviticus 27:30. All the tithe is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Malachi 3:10. We've probably all heard that one. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse and try me now in this, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. Such truth. This is where people often stop and the critics say, that's Old Testament law. I don't have to live by that law. But see, that's only part of the story. And perhaps that's the part that suits the narrative so they don't have to follow the tithe principle. Matthew 23:23, Jesus says, these you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. He's talking to the Pharisees about tithing herbs. Note this carefully. He doesn't say stop tithing. He says, don't neglect justice, mercy, and faith while you tithe. Tithing is fine. Here's what I translate out of this. Tithing is fine, but it's not the whole picture. See, the New Testament shifts from percentage to posture. The posture that we have when we give. This is where most people misunderstand, because the New Testament doesn't emphasize a number. It emphasizes the heart. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. So let each other give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Hebrews 7:8. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them. See this reference back to Melchizedek and shows a continuing spiritual principle, not just a past law. See, I look at the Bible as a complete narrative. I hope you do too. It's not just the old and the new, and it's two separate books, and there's this big division, and I'm only a New Testament believer, so I don't worry about any of that. Or no, I like the Old Testament and the whatever. It's one complete narrative that complements the other. That's the Word of God. So tithing isn't just Old Testament, no. And here's the honest answer that you can all stand on. Tithing started before the law. It was structured in the law. It was affirmed by Jesus, and it is fulfilled in the New Testament through generosity and surrender. And the real issue isn't the 10%. Is that gross or net, Pastor Jeremy? That's not bad. Let's be clear. If someone is arguing about whether they have to tithe, they're already approaching it from the wrong angle. You've missed it. You've totally missed it. Because the New Testament standard is actually higher, not lower. So do I have to give? It's not about, do I have to give 10%? God says, everything I have is yours. How do you want me to steward it? That should be our posture. So it's gone from 10% to everything. How would you like to give all of this? Whoa! Tithing is not a legal obligation, okay? So be released from that. But it is a biblical principle of honor, trust, and alignment. And it doesn't begin with the law. It doesn't end with the law. It's a starting point, not the finish line. Are you with me today?
Yeah.
So this is the heart of God. He doesn't say, give me everything and figure it out. He doesn't say that. He says, trust me with the first, and I'll bless the rest. Because giving isn't about money. We make it about that. It's actually about trust. Where does your trust lie? It's about saying, God, even when I don't see the cloud, the size of a man's fist, the first six times, nothing. Even when I don't see the cloud, I still believe the rain is coming. Come on.
Yeah.
We've got to lift our expectation, lift our faith and our trust in him. See, Elijah's servant comes back the seventh time and says, I see a cloud. The size of a man's hand, and that's it. That's what he sees. So it's not a storm, it's not heavy rain yet. It's just a small cloud. But see, the breakthrough always starts small before it becomes overwhelming. I've skipped a few, there we go. One, two, skip a few. The breakthrough always starts small before it becomes overwhelming. It's like a little trickle, and then it builds, and then it's like overflow and abundance. See, I believe for some people here today, online, listening after the fact, you're about to see the first sign. It might be small, it might not look like much, but it's the beginning of something bigger than you realize. We're about to enter into an incredible season, and I'm believing for weekly testimonies of God's provision. That's what I'm believing for. I don't want a Sunday to go by. In fact, I declare it now. I want us all looking for the miracle, looking even for the small things. I don't care how big a number or how many zeros or nothing. Oh, God provided 20 bucks so I could buy bread and milk. Hallelujah. Every Sunday, I want you to come to me. Not once church starts, it's hard. Come early, come to Anita and I and say, I've got to testify of God's goodness. Because we're going to be believing every single week for God's provision. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. So please, before church starts, come early. Islanders, kingdom time. All right, kingdom time, come early. Tell us of God's faithfulness in your life. We want you to testify. Because when you testify, it builds our faith. It encourages us.
Yeah.
It helps us all to rise to another level in our expectation. Because here's the truth. When you realize what's in your hand, you make room for what's in God's hand. Once you realize. You make room. Your seed has to go up first before your rain comes down. So today, as we talk about giving, and that's what we're talking about, and we're talking about breakthrough in not just finances, but in natural rain. The drought's going to break in Jesus' name. But as we talk about it, as we talk about sowing in drought, this is not about obligation. Don't leave here feeling heavy because, pressure. You've missed it. If you're walking out feeling like that, you've missed it. This is about faith. And it's about lifting your eyes. And it's about saying, you know what, I may not see it yet, but I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. So faith doesn't wait for evidence. It moves in expectation. So that's what I'm doing today. I'm wanting to build expectation in you. Come on, why can't we believe for an abundance? Why can't we believe for overflow? Why can't we believe for business ventures to go better than expected in the drought? Why can't we believe for God's provision? Because He's still a God of miracles. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, in and out of season. Come on, let's lift our faith and our trust in Him. Your seed goes up first. All right, point three. You can live watered in a dry season. Who wants that? Come on, things are dry, things are looking terrible, there's no provision, there's lack, but you can be watered. Isaiah 58:11 says this, "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on, speak that over your family, over your life, over this community. And let's bring it into focus, because this is where it's becoming personal now. I want this to be personal for you, because this is between you and the Lord. The Bible doesn't deny the drought. It's important to understand that. He doesn't say stick your head in the sand and pretend nothing's happening. It doesn't deny the drought. It doesn't say, oh, there is no famine, there is no pressure, there is no lack. No. It says this, "I will satisfy you in drought." It means this. You can be in a dry season like we are right now. In the physical, we're in a dry season. In the spiritual, in the release of finances into the life of this church, I'm telling you, it's a dry season. We're scraping through. We're not going bankrupt, but it's tight. And I believe that something's going to break from today. Because I don't know about you, I trust a God that says there's an abundance of rain coming. You can hear the sound coming. That's where my trust is. Doesn't look like it. We haven't got millionaires in our church, although you haven't told me. Maybe you are. Let me know after. But we're just everyday people that God wants to use in a powerful way, yeah? And when we're obedient and we're listening for that prompting, that voice of the Lord, we can move and act. So you can be in a dry season, but you can still be sustained. Amen. You can be in a tough economy. Cost of living crisis, petrol prices, interest rates. You can be in a tough economy, but still experience provision. You can be surrounded by lack and still live in overflow. Because we're in a different kingdom. See, the drought around you does not have to become the drought within you. It's only if you let it. If you let the fear, if you let the narrative of the world consume you, it becomes within you. But see, the drought around you doesn't have to be in you. See, this is where people separate. Some people go through drought and dry up. Some people pull back, they shrink, and they get dry. They live in fear. But you know what others do? They go through the same season, same everything, but somehow they stay fresh. They're still generous, they're still faith-filled, they're still trusting God. Why? Because they know that their source is very different. See, God is your source. We need that revelation today. Stop listening to the narrative of the world. Stop listening to your government telling you to take your roof racks off and what else did they say? Take your roof racks off and drive at certain speeds and get a Fred Flintstone car and use your legs instead of... Come on. I appreciate the intent behind it, but come on. God is our source. And when God is your source, drought is a condition. It's not a conclusion. It's not the end. We're just passing through. And this is why giving matters so much in seasons like this. Because giving keeps your heart open. It keeps your heart open when fear is trying to close it. The enemy would love for you to have closed off hearts, become stingy, stay at home. So giving keeps your faith active when circumstances are trying to shut it down. So giving reminds you, I don't live by what I see, I live by who my God is. So here's the picture that we've seen today that I hope I've presented in a way that inspires and encourages you, not makes you feel guilty, not makes you feel a weight, but makes you want to talk to God about this. So Isaac sowed in famine and he saw increase. Elijah believed in drought and he saw rain. And God promises you can stay watered even when everything around you is dry. See, we're not people who shrink back in drought. That's not who we are. If we're to be honest and we are children of God and we live by his word, that's not who we are. We are people who sow, we are people who believe, and we are people who stay rooted in God. So if your source is heaven, your supply is not limited by this earth. Which brings me to my last point. When you sow in drought, God restores in rain. Joel 2:23-24. I haven't got all of it. I'm going to read all of it. It says, be glad, Joel 2:23-24. Be glad when you, children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. He will cause the rain to come down. Come on, are we petitioning the Lord? Are we praying? Are we just getting in that zone daily? God, we need a fresh outpouring of rain on our community. The threshing floors will then be full, the vats are going to overflow. We know that's your heart for us. So, Lord, let it be as your word declares. So let's bring this together, because this is where hope starts to rise, when you start praying like this. This is how we prayed on Monday. This is what stirred this within me. Because this is where hope rises. This is where faith can lift. And this is where we stop just talking about drought. No, it's very drought. Start talking about how dry it is. That's all we talk about. This is where we start believing for rain. Come on, are you believing for rain?
Yes.
Come on, let's lift our expectations. It doesn't look like it. You look at your weather app, no rain forever. The natural says there's no rain coming. But where are our hearts? Where is our faith? Where's our declaration? I hear the sound of an abundance. I hear the sound of an abundance. And it's going to come and it's going to pour and it's going to refresh the land. See, the prophet Joel speaks into a broken, dry, devastated season. And everything has been stripped back. Crops have been ruined. Provision was gone. People are wondering how they're going to recover. And God speaks this promise, I will send the rain and there will be an overflow. Come on, already you can see it and hear it in our community. Those of you, I'm on the Facebook community pages and stuff, and I don't say a lot, but I'm seeing the theme already. People stressed about water, people getting angry, people upset at council because of X, Y, Z. The government hasn't done anything since the last drought that we had. And the blame game's happening, and the panic is setting in. Who's going to help us? Because the people that helped us before, they copped it quite a bit. So are they going to step up again? Maybe not. And everyone's just starting to panic already. See, God wants us to lean in. Not just believe for just enough. Not believe for just survival. Lord, get us through. But believe for overflow. Believe for overflow. See, God doesn't just bring you out of drought, ending the hardship. He brings you into restoration. Restoration, the complete, finished work. That's what my God does. Full abundance. That's my God. Think about everything that we've talked about today. Isaac sowing in famine, Elijah believing in drought. Now Joel is declaring rain is coming and it won't just restore, but it's going to overflow. See, some of you have been in a long season. And if you're honest, it felt like loss. Perhaps you're still in that season right now. Like things have been stripped right back. Like you've been doing your best, but you just got to keep going. But what feels like loss in one season, it can become a harvest in the next. Be one harvest away from your breakthrough. Because God's not unjust. Tell me in the word where it says he is unjust. He is a God of justice. He sees every seed. He sees every act of obedience, every moment that you choose faith over fear. He sees it. And every time you give, he sees that you're giving when it doesn't make sense. God sees that. And there is a harvest attached to your obedience in Jesus' name. And you may not see it in a week, 2 weeks, a month, 6 months, but maybe by the seventh month, seven times. I believe this. We are not just in a dry season, but we are on the edge of a shift as a church. There is so much vision at play in the background, and we've talked about it in church. Things from food distribution centers to kitchens to toilets to things that we want to do, housing, because there's a lack of housing. All this stuff is just ruminating in the background. It hasn't gone away. It's not that we're not doing anything, but I just feel there needs to be a breakthrough spiritually, that an abundance gets poured out so that the vision can flourish. We're on the edge of that shift. It's a shift in the natural. I'm believing for rain. Come on, in the next 3 months, let's believe for rain. Why not?
Why not?
Why not? Let's believe for a shift in provision. Let's believe for a shift in breakthrough. Why not? What's the alternative? Ah, well, I'll just hold on to everything and we'll just see what happens. Come on, are we a people of faith?
Yes.
Are we a people of expectation? Yes. Are we a people that hear the voice of the Lord saying, I hear an abundance of rain? Or are we holding back? See, we've been looking at the dry ground and it is dry, but I believe clouds are forming. We've been seeing lack, but I believe God is preparing abundance. Even this week, something's going to shift. Something's going to shift in the church bank account. Something's going to shift in the community care account. We're going to start seeing provision. It's going to come because I believe God is preparing abundance. And the conditions for breakthrough are in motion. It's not just, oh, we just decided, let's do this now. No, God's at work already. And it's our job as believers to anticipate the breakthrough, and that's faith. and proclaim the breakthrough. Man, you're not going to be able to keep me quiet when I get to testify on the goodness of God and what He's done in and through the life of this church. So because this is what God does, He takes what was sown in tears and turns it into a harvest of joy. He takes what looks like scarcity and turns it into an abundance of supply. He takes dry ground and He sends rain. That's our God. So what you sow in drought, we'll just have that one. What you sow in drought, God will restore in rain. Rain is coming. Come on, rain is coming. Rain is coming. Rain is coming. Your current season is not your final outcome. Harvest is coming in Jesus' name. So let's just take a moment, because we've heard the word today. I pray that it's not just information. I pray that it's transformation. I pray that it's encouraged and stirred your heart, not condemned it, but shown you that you are now being invited to be part of this miracle, to believe for an abundance. You might be someone who just doesn't tithe. Well, I believe God is speaking to you today and saying, hey, try me now in this. That's not me making you feel guilty. The Word of God says that. Try me now in this. Give me this portion. This is all I ask. You can have all of that, and I'm going to bless that and increase that so that you can have more here. But you've got to start with this, not, oh, but the bills, and oh, but the, I'm overwhelmed, oh, it's not the right season, oh, it's too hard. You can, you can think of 100 excuses, but it's a biblical principle. I trust that I've shown you today, it's not the law, it's not legalistic, it's faith. Trusting Him with what's first. Oh, it's a Felix. Hold on, Mac. Oh, Mac's there. It's fine. You're being good, Mac. Good boy. It's all right, Felix. Chill, bro. Have an apple. It's all good. Because you want a banana, please. Is it all right? Okay. By the way, when we finish, come and take this stuff. Like, I don't want to waste it. So just take it. Whatever you can use. Whatever's a blessing. I don't know. Someone maybe likes it. I've never had one of these in my life. Are they? Well, you might take some for work or whatever. They're there. They're there to be a blessing. We've seen clearly today. Come on, let me wrap this up. Isaac sowed in famine. Elijah believed in drought. God promises you can stay watered. And Joel declares that rain brings rest and restoration. So for some of you, this message has been encouraging. I hope it has. Anyone been encouraged today? All right, three of you. That's awesome. For others, it's been confronting. Who's that? Yeah, no one wants to put their hand up, but maybe it's been a bit confronting. For others, you've felt that tension as I've been talking. And you've felt that moment where you've thought, look, I know what God is saying, but this doesn't feel like the right time. And I get that too because of the pressure. But this is not about ignoring reality. This is not about pretending things aren't tight. I know things are tight. This is about choosing what voice you trust the most in the tight season. So, here's the question. Do I trust the climate or do I trust my God? I pray that that is the most confronting question that you address today. Am I trusting the climate? Things are tight, hold back, just reduce my tithe a little bit just because I need that extra whatever. Are you dictated to by the climate or by your faith in God, which says, come on, sow in the midst of drought. Sow when you can't see what's going to come, because why? It declares your faith and trust in me. You know, we saw this before. This represents what God has placed in your hands, and the smaller portion represents what belongs to God. Are we dipping into this when the season is tight? That's between you and the Lord, and you've got to wrestle with that. I'd encourage you, if you're not a tither, let that change today. And don't be the person that says, oh, I tithe to the online ministry that does. No, you tithe into your local church. That's the biblical principle. Bring the store into the storehouse. So wrestle with that as well. But you tithe in your local church. Then if you want to give more to other things, brilliant, do that. Do that as the Lord leads. And that's your offerings. And that's incredible. But this belongs to God in the local house that you fellowship in. It represents what God has placed in your hands, and this is the portion that He claims. God's never asked you for everything. He's only ever asked for the portion. And even in that, I think He's being pretty generous. Because like we said, it's not so much about percentage anymore, is it? The New Testament is about our heart. God, everything is yours. How do I steward it for you and your glory? So you're not giving from lack. Whatever your portion is, that's what God entrusts to you. You're giving from what He's already provided you. And today I want to lead us into something as a church. Not just a one-off moment. I've spoken today to start something, but this is going to go for a season. I'm calling our church into 3 months of supernatural giving. Every year, if you've been part of our church, you know we like to do a first fruits, and we emphasize the importance and value of putting God first in our finances. And at the start of a financial year, we say, okay, God, here's a day's wage, a week's wage, a month's wage, whatever you choose, whatever the Holy Spirit says to you, we do that in July. But I just felt we need a shift now. We need a supernatural shift. And here's what it could look like. And please, I'm not telling you what to do. I just want you to know that something's possible. If you tithe already, you're amazing. But what if you added $20 to that a week? Would you miss that? I don't know. I'm just giving you a suggestion. If you don't tithe at all, just start tithing. And that's going to bring a breakthrough. Because all of a sudden, you're enacting obedience to God's word. Maybe you're someone that can do a giant gift. Well, God bless you. What I want you to do, Felix, is go your pocket money out here. Share your apple with Pastor. No, don't do that. What I want you to do is seek the Lord. That's all we've ever said from this pulpit. Tell me if I'm wrong. Seek the Lord for yourself. Don't walk out of this place and just go about your week and not do anything about what's been shared today. Honestly, seek the Lord. Talk to your family, your husband, your kids, whatever it is. Talk to them. Pray together around the table. What are we going to do as a family to believe for an abundance? How are we going to sow in drought? What are we going to do? So I'm calling our church to this 3 months. And the world says this is the worst time to do this. 100%. That's why I love it even more. Because the truth is, this could be our greatest time ever. It really could. And it could be your greatest time financially because breakthrough comes in your life. Not because of what's happening around about us, but because God is going to do something powerful through us and through His church. Come on, have you got faith for that today? This is not about an amount. Please, hear me. This is about posture that we carry through this next season. It's a moment where we say, God, I trust You. Again, God, You are my source. God, even in drought, I will sow. It's a declaration of faith. So today, I want to invite you, not pressure you, to step into this season with us. Come on, are you stepping in with us? Are you committing to pray, to seek the Lord, and to give an over an abundance, whatever that is for you and your family? For some of you, that means giving when it would be easier not to. I appreciate that. Trusting when it feels uncertain. Sowing even though the ground looks dry. I totally get that. Like I said, in the natural, this doesn't feel right. But in the supernatural, something's going to happen. Something's going to shift. And not just today, but choosing to live this way over the next 3 months. I said from May to July. We're still in April, but we can start early.
Sure.
Well, one person's came early. Maybe take 2 weeks to pray and then start again. Whatever you got to do. We're not doing this alone. That's what you need to know. We're doing this together. Because I believe this with all of my heart. That this is not just a practical decision, although the church needs an increase in its finances right now. But it's not just because it's a practical decision. This is a prophetic season. A season where we choose faith over fear. A season where we break the mindset of lack. A season where we declare our source is not the economy, our source is God. A season where Felix brings the word. He's got his microphone. No, he's ready. And as you sow over these next 3 months, you're not just meeting a need. It's important to understand that. You are planting a seed. Amen? A seed of faith, a seed of trust, a seed that says, I believe rain is coming. Come on, do we believe that?
Yes.
An abundance of rain is coming. And so just like Elijah, you may not see it immediately. Week one, you start giving extra or you do whatever you choose to do and you don't see anything. Week two, still nothing. But that doesn't mean it's not on the way. Because the seventh time a cloud appeared. So what you don't see yet, God is already setting in motion. So I want to declare this over you as I bring this to a close. I've gone a little longer today, but I had to get this off my chest. I declare, in fact, why don't you stand? Let's stand in God's presence. Let's just close your eyes. If you're partial to lift up your hands to heaven, we'll do that. Because I want to declare this over you, your family, over your next season. This is for you. Make it personal. I know I'm saying it as a congregation over everyone, but this is for you. I declare that we are not a people of fear. We are a people of faith. And over these next 3 months, May, June, July, we're in the middle of April, we'll even start now, we're not going to be held back because of the drought. But we are going to sow with confidence. And we, as we sow, we know rain is coming. Rain on our land. Rain on our finances. Rain on our families. The ones that need Jesus. Rain on their hearts, Lord. What has been dry is going to be refreshed. And what has been lacking is going to be restored. And what has been sown in faith will return a harvest a hundredfold. We declare it over every person under the sound of my voice, that what we sow, we will reap a hundredfold. We claim it in Jesus' name. And not only that, we claim the small increase too. Every testimony of your goodness, we're going to commit to declare and prophesy and share and testify and tell the world our God is a God who provides. So we declare breakthrough over this house. We declare provision over this people. And we declare rain in its due season. In Jesus' name. And everybody shout it.
Amen.
Come on, give praise. Thank you.